The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, the 21st day of September 2021. I believe the actual autumnal equinox, which is just fun to say, the official beginning of fall, I think is technically somewhere during the calendar day tomorrow. But today you will feel the fingers of fall upon us. When you wake up this morning, you find here, hang on a second, let me get my exact proper meteorological info from my phone. You know, when I got in the car this morning, it was 82 degrees. It's like, okay, here we go again. Because usually the daily high is going to be 20 or so degrees higher than what it is at, you know, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. And so the ordinary drill would be for us to knock on the door at 100. And we got to and surpassed 100 yesterday. Today, however, something wonderful is going to happen, and it's apparently in about an hour. Right now, right outside our door, right here sort of where Irving meets DFW Airport, it is 81 degrees. So ordinarily, in a couple of hours, it would be like 86 or 87. Yeah, except that's not going to happen. It's a front. It's something. I don't think it's going to be accompanied by showers of any real measure. But my phone says by 8, 9 o'clock, it's 6 degrees cooler than it is now, which would be a good 10 or 12 degrees cooler than it ordinarily would be. And we will max out today somewhere around about 84. And then tomorrow, the high 82, and then 84. We're back at the, you know, touching on the 90s by the weekend and next week. But it's the beginning. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of the icy fingers of fall, and that is awesome. Glad to have you here. All right, boy, do we have an interesting and busy show today. One of our favorite people ever, Dr. Ben Carson, former HUD secretary, former presidential candidate, always a good dude, has a wonderful think tank going. We'll get to see what they're thinking about in the tank there with Dr. Ben at 8:05. 8:35, we're going to put ourselves into that House District 10 race in Ellis County, Brian Harrison and John Ray. The actual election is 1 week from today, but they're sending some stuff back and forth. And you may it was an ad from the John Ray campaign that actually piqued my interest. It's one of those two people just sitting around talking about an election ads.
Hey, Emily, did you hear about that House District 10 race? Why, no, Bill. Why don't you tell? Well, I heard that, you know, it's you know, well, I heard Joe Blow, you know, is a scoundrel in several ways. Really? Who told you that? Oh,
it's that kind of thing. There's some assertions made in that that are pretty ugly, and so I figured I'd let Brian Harrison respond to them. And then, since it's what we do, we'll reach out to Mr. Ray, and because the Harrison campaign has some things they're saying about John Ray, we'll let him respond to those. And responding to each other's ads really is the only place where news gets made, because these guys' actual politics are virtually identical. It is about track record. It is about resume. John Ray once held this seat, wants it back. Brian Harrison ran for Congress, didn't make the runoff. Jake Elzey holds that seat now, and Jake Elzey has endorsed John Ray. Ted Cruz has endorsed Brian Harrison. So, okay, all good. So we'll talk to both of these guys in the coming days. Brian at 8:35. At 9:35, one of the most interesting Texans ever, the great Ross Perot. He passed away a couple years ago. I can't think of anybody I'd rather have write a book about him than my good friend Dave Lieber, longtime columnist, consumer watchdog, writer, hero, Texas historian. And so 9:35, Dave Lieber in his book, Searching for Perot, My Journey to Discover Texas's Top Family. That's 9:35. Okay, stuff going on in the news. That Del Rio situation just remains. It's unfair to a point. A president's got to take a vacation at some point. Presidents get to do that. But the optics, you know, Biden up there on a bicycle in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, while just thousands of migrants are huddled in tent cities at the gates of America. It is an optical disconnect for the ages. And if these people have a shred of self-awareness, they might have said, sir, we're not going to be able to do the beach trip at the moment, because if we do, everyone is going to juxtapose pictures of you and Jill bicycling, you know, in the bright sunshine, while the country goes to hell, and that's just probably not in your best interest. But nobody did that. Nobody did that. I heard from some friends about some questions that said they're having family discussions about the news, which is a good thing. You should always have family discussions about the news. And it gave me the opportunity to make this observation. A lot of the positions of the left come from what seems to be childlike innocence. Here's what I mean. Or childlike, pardon me here, immaturity. Because maybe your 8-year-old, maybe your 12-year-old, hope your teenagers aren't, I hope they're smarter, are asking, why can't we just take everybody? You know, you see all these suffering people at the border. Have you ever had, you know, like a fourth grader say, why can't we just take all those people? Our country is big and rich and kind and resourceful, and these people barely have a pot to pee in, and they're in economic dire straits. And so why can't we just take them? I can understand if a fourth grader asks you this. Sadly, we have adults asking this question, and we have more adults called Democrats in elected office who are trying to actually bring that about. So for the Democrats or fourth graders among you, here's the answer to that question. I am a human being. I have a heart, and it breaks for these people who have, with the greatest of ill wisdom, come knocking in an attempt to enter illegally into the United States. They want to be arrested. They want to be detained. They want to violate our system of laws and our borders, not out of maliciousness toward America, but out of a fervent desire to get in. Because whatever incarceration they will face, whatever circumstance, whatever consequence they will face in the United States is certainly better than whatever hellhole in Mexico they came out of, or a place I have seen with my own eyes of the wreckage of Haiti. I totally get it. So again, for the children or those of childlike mind, why can't we just take them all? Yes, we are a rich country. Yes, we are a resourceful country. Yes, we are. Our national wealth, our national blessings are more than we can count. And we're going to count them in a specific prayer here in just a second, because that's what we always do. But the systems that we have for taking care of the needy, because we have a lot of needy, are stretched to the limit. And when you take a look at these crowds of migrants at the border and just kind of shrug and go, let them in. The offense that you commit to the American taxpayer, the offense that you commit to the already existing legal immigrants, the offense that you commit to the American citizenry is immeasurable. Our classrooms are already too crowded, and they would burst at the seams with the children of new arrivals. Many of them with zero English skills. Some of these folks also come in with zero job skills. So much is made that all they want to do is come in and work. For some of them, that's true. For others, there will be an instant drain on our already overburdened welfare system. And don't even get me started about health care. Pandemic or non-pandemic, a flood of countless people of questionable health. All of these things, health care, social safety nets, education, the flood of unvetted new arrivals would be disastrous to all of those systems that exist to do what? To take care of Americans. So if you find yourself with your heart talking to you about migrants, and as a human being, it should, make sure there is a part of your heart that is still active to consider the interests of your actual fellow citizens in this country and what is in the best interests of your country. That's why we can't just open the gates and let everybody in. All right, here's a prayer to somebody who lets everybody in. Lord, guide us and protect us. Into his word, I mean, as you know. Got to be careful about that. Jesus would have let him in. Excuse me, what? Jesus is all about kindness. Jesus is about personal charity. There is nothing in Christianity or the Gospels that says that your country should not have borders and you should have no regard for the health of your nation and its laws. Thank you. Excuse me, to begin again. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Speaking of protection, protect and watch over our fellow Americans still trapped in Afghanistan. And be with us as we chart a course out of our COVID nightmare. Help us to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives. Guide us to fight for our liberties within the law and by following your law. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, where our elections are reliable, where our borders work, and where we fight for the unborn, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. And as we face a new day of fresh problems or some of the old problems we've been wrestling with forever, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. All right. Boy, I spent very little time dragging through the cesspool that is Morning Joe on MSNBC. But if they're going to have Bob Woodward and Robert Costa on to talk about that Peril book that gave us the story of General Milley and that rogue call to China that, if it happened as it's described in the book, should spell the end of his military service and service as Joint Chiefs Chair. Well, they were on answering some questions about this. And the question arises, does the book itself have problems? Because it is Bob Woodward, who has a storied career as a writer and sort of narrator of history. There have been a couple of things where people have scrunched up eyebrows in some of Woodward's books and said, did that really happen? But overall, his record is way more reliable than unreliable. As for Robert Costa, this is a reporter's reporter, a wonderful guy and a wonderful journalist. Well, this book of theirs has mounting problems, and I'll tell you what they are next, and you'll hear from the authors next. And one of them, Bob Woodward, will telegraph for you exactly what the poisonous bias is that he brings into the book. Mark Davis, 720, happy Tuesday, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
Oops, hang on a minute. Technology is our friend.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
So, where was I? I think I was talking about that book by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. Peril. I always wondered what the title referred to. Who or what was in peril? Well, it goes like this. Apparently the nation was because of wheels off Trump. So here's the thing. If the problem with General Milley going off and whining to his Chinese counterpart that crazy Trump was endangering the world, problem is, apparently this book issues the same baseless warning. So Mika Brzezinski asked Bob Woodward you know, some stuff has trickled out about the book, but what hasn't come out yet? What is the when people actually, you know, get the book, which I think actually comes out today, what's the big takeaway that you guys feel is of the most impact?
I guess the overall that this was a national security crisis that Trump brought because countries like China, Russia, Iran looked at what was occurring in the United States. If you go back and look at what Trump said before the election, it was scary.
Let us review. Bob Woodward's point is that because China and Iran and Russia were rattled, had their feathers ruffled by Trump rhetoric, that this was a national security crisis. Okay, silly me, but I don't define national security crises as when our enemies are upset. If China and Russia and Iran are not happy with things we're doing, chances are that's exhibit A, B, and C that we're doing the right thing. When the world community, what a great day for this. Joe Biden will wheeze his way onto the stage at the United Nations this morning. There is no way on God's earth I'm going to punish you with live wall-to-wall coverage of that. But if any successful sentences that he completes there on that stage that are of note, sure, we'll pay attention to it and play them. It's in the 9 o'clock hour. Got a lot going on. But this, what an absurd and defeated take that we need to judge America's national security by how comfortable enemy leaders are
to people abroad. And then after the January 6th insurrection, it was
not an insurrection.
Frightening. And China particularly ignited on this. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, had these calls with the leader of the Chinese military.
Without Trump's knowledge, treachery, insubordination, violation of the chain of command.
Made it very clear, we're going to stabilize things. Let's not have a war. And in a period of miscommunication and high tension, as history shows, that's when you have an incident or even a war.
I've had good things to say about Bob Woodward over the years when he's deserved them, which is often. I've had criticism for Bob Woodward when he has deserved it, which is from time to time. This take is not about whether the journalism is good in the book or whether the writing is good in the book. That's just an absurd worldview. First of all, the notion that Trump rhetoric was somehow on a path towards some bellicose action toward China, that we were going to, launch on Beijing or do God knows what, is born of the pernicious fiction that is Trump hatred. The only people who believe that are Trump haters. There's no basis for that belief whatsoever. So the notion that General Milley heroically stepped in to return calm is just a damnable lie. That's Woodward, who I don't really care about. Costa, I do. Costa's been on this show. I've heard Costa interview. This is an actual reporter's reporter, and his name is on this thing as well. And you know what else this book does? It takes to the bank the fine people hoax. Refers to some people as having grown really alarmed when Trump stood up for, defended white supremacists at Charlottesville. Gosh, one big problem, guys. That's a lie, too. He never did it. And this book says he did. And if it's just written by, some other group of Trump-hating hacks, whatever. It's another day ending in Y. But it's another stain, on the legacy of Bob Woodward, and the first stain on the career of Robert Costa. It's a shame. All righty, let's go into the world of news, see what's going on with Gordon Griffin, and then let's ring up our talk show buddy Mike Gallagher, see what is in his topical mind on this Tuesday morning. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Here's Gordon. All right, from 1978.
Do you remember
songs have a calendar date in them. You know, I mean, 4th of July, maybe there's some. Christmas refers to a date, obviously.
12th of never.
Well, that's not an actual calendar date, Johnny Mathis.
That's an awesome answer.
and one of the great love songs of all time until the 12th of never. Oh my goodness. So there's and people asked Maurice White of Earth, Wind & Fire why he wrote that and why that lyric, and his answer was, I like the way it sounded. Isn't that great? People think, oh, must be
very scientific.
Birth of a child, yeah, anniversaries. Nope. I liked the way that it sounded. And so do we, because I'm still playing it 40 some years later.
That's like that. I'm good. What was that being there? Remember the Jerzy Gosinski being there with Peter Sellers?
He was Chauncey Gardner.
Chauncey the Gardner. Yep. Chauncey the Gardner, but he became Chauncey Gardner. He wound up being president.
Right.
Might be some truth in this. By the way, can somebody come in here? It sounds like this studio is about to explode.
I was going to say,
hear that?
I hear something that sounds like someone is grinding coffee in the background.
It's like something's about to go. We're about to blow. We're about
look out!
Fire in the hole! Something crazy is happening. Yeah. The Jerzy Kaczynski being there with Peter Sellers, mm-hmm. and he used to say, I like to watch.
I like to watch. With a great Shirley
McClain. And they thought
he
was so brilliant.
Yep.
And this is what they say about Jen Psaki. They think she's so smart. Boy, she's such a good press secretary. The illegals don't need any concern. We don't have any concern about COVID with mm-hmm. all the illegals mm-hmm. because they're not coming here to stay very long.
No.
How long does she think they're going to stay?
Yep.
Mark, what do you think Jen Psaki is thinking when she said that migrants who illegally enter the U.S. don't need to present proof of vaccination in the same way that foreign nationals reportedly do because the illegals are not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time?
Exactly.
So it's different.
Exactly. I would think they're going to stay longer than the average visitor from some foreign country, of whom we are going to start requiring vaccine proof or some or negative COVID
Wait
test.
Wait a minute. Why would they not stay forever? They're coming here to seek asylum.
They'll be here for years.
I mean, if a Trump person said that, the media would be on this 24/7. I am so disgusted, and I don't know when I'm going to get tired of the media complicity. The Democrats have a 5-alarm political fire going on right now. They know it. Here in Florida, Politico had a big report. Republicans are about to outnumber Democrats for the first time in modern history. They've never had that in Florida. Did you know that? It's always been a solidly, believe it or not, the reason it's a swing state is because Democrats do outnumber Republicans, right?
You bet.
400,000 margin in the Obama era. You know what it is now? 23,000 at the end of August.
Wow.
I mean, there's been a huge sea change, and Democrats see that, and they say, gosh, we're going to lose Florida as a swing state. This is Politico called this a 5-alarm political fire for the Democrats. I heard Byron York's analysis of attempting to use this budget reconciliation as a way to get around what they know they can't accomplish otherwise.
That's right.
They're trying to use a trick, Mark, in order to achieve their agenda. When you've got to resort to a trick, a parliamentarian attempt at a trick, and the parliamentarian said, no can do, not allowed to do that, to try to give illegals, you know, citizenship or a path to citizenship, they are in disaster mode. You talk about a fire. This is a 5-alarm fire for the Democrats. 2022 is going to be here in the blink of an eye, and I don't see how in the world they're going to prevent this tide. They're going to be able to stem this tide of voter discontent.
Why does this scare me?
Well, you know what I mean?
No, not conspiracy. Just and not necessarily overconfidence. As you know, I sometimes hold back on my willingness to presume that the country sees things as they are. I never underestimate the ability of a Democratic Party with policies that tons of people disagree with to simply promise enough free stuff to people that they get votes anyway. Because what you've just described should paint the landscape for just a monstrous wave election in 2022 and a cakewalk for the Republican nominee to the presidency in 24. And anytime it seems that way in September of 2021, I get nervous.
Yeah, I mean, we have every reason to be nervous. I mean, 2020 ought to give us all kinds of reason to be nervous. Yeah. California, well, there's lots of reasons to be dubious and to be cynical. But, you know, and maybe this is a country that is virtually unrecognizable anymore. And if that's the case...
Then you venture into outright pessimism, which I don't think I'll ever do. What I think it does spark in me is the energy to fight hard, fight smart. It's almost like a sports analogy. No matter what you're doing, play like you're 10 points down. And even when things are looking like they're lining up for us, I'm going to presume that they're not and just try to fight hard and recommend the best candidates we can find, the smartest people to get out there and fight hard and fight smart and give people some leadership that will actually help the country. Please,
I'm trying to find that. I'm trying to find that conspiracy theory. They torched a guy, I think, over at Newsmax for saying it. And I'm trying to find out where it was over at Mediaite. And I'm trying to go through it, scroll through it. But it had something to do with it was essentially that the Democrats are intentionally I got to get this right, but they're going so far. Maybe it was Grant Stinchfield over at Newsmax, but I'll find it. But it had to do with a giant conspiracy theory that what we're seeing is kind of a playing out of an agenda that the Democrats are intentionally torpedoing everything they can.
So that what? So what's the end game? So that what?
So that how was it? I gotta find it. I'm sorry. I just briefly saw it late last night, and I'll track it down again. I apologize, but it had something to do with like the opposite game. Like they're deliberately
reverse psychology of something.
Yes, it was a reverse psychology of some kind.
Irrespective of what the theory was, just you and me, guys with brains. How would that be smart? How in the world might somebody who's hatching that idea think here that it works out well? Ah, here we go.
I found it. Here it is. Breitbart News writer John Nolte argued that the left is using reverse psychology to trick Republicans into dying of COVID. Now, get this. Howard Stern, for example, Stern did a big monologue that went viral last week where he mocked the conservative radio hosts who've died of COVID.
Great.
And Nick Nol or John Nolte, not Nick,
Nick Nolte.
John Nolte.
Now, that would be fun.
that Stern and the rest of the liberal media are deliberately looking to manipulate Trump supporters into not getting vaccinated. So the assertion is that it has to do with who owns who. And his point was, he said, if I wanted to use reverse psychology to convince people not to get a life-saving vaccine, I would do exactly what Stern and the left are doing. I would bully and taunt and mock and ridicule you for not getting vaccinated, knowing that the human response would be, hey, blank you, I'm never going to get vaccinated. Now, I know the guy's getting... Mark, I think he's got a kernel of truth to that.
You've phrased it exactly correctly. He has a point, but overanalyzes it to a degree, to an exponent of 10. I don't think Stern cares about any of this. I don't even know if Biden does necessarily. I think it is the left's normal stance to mock and ridicule people who are exercising their liberty and not getting the vaccine.
That could be.
But ultimately, the point that he makes that is of the greatest value is if the Biden administration or anybody wanted to urge people or prod people gently and effectively toward getting the vaccine, you speak well of the vaccine. You offer data. You offer science. You offer evidence. What you do not do is mock people who have not kissed the ring yet, mock people who have not bent the knee, because that will just simply have them dig in even deeper.
Bingo. I mean, it really is fair to say that whatever the Biden administration has tried to do hasn't worked. Whatever our country
has tried, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's true. It's now the reason why. I'm sorry, but the science, but the data. 80% of Israel is vaccinated, and they're struggling. And people hear that, and they think, well, then what's the point? Or I get vaccinated and I still have to wear a mask and I still have, I'm going to have all these mandates thrown down my, shoved down my throat.
I think that's stupid. I mean, that's just,
that's the point. By the way, did you hear the news about Johnson & Johnson? They just announced a second shot of their vaccine given 2 months after the first increased its effectiveness to 94%. I want to know why I didn't get the second shot. I didn't know there was, could be two. I didn't know that was on the table.
I was told this was one shot.
I want to get seven now. I'm going to go get four more. By Friday. I mean, but the Johnson & Johnson argument is that a booster shot, I like the idea. If we're talking boosters, and you did Pfizer, right? You and Lisa did Pfizer?
Moderna.
You did Moderna. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like this. And of course, what do I know? Like, I'm a doctor, but I don't like the sound of mixing and matching vaccines. I don't like a Pfizer booster, which my doctor is willing to give me right now, today. He's ready to put this in my arm.
Well, is this the same doctor who happily gives you the ivermectin you crave? I mean, you love him for that.
Well,
why do you not trust him for this?
I mean, ivermectin's my idea. He sees no objection to it. Tucker Carlson had a great monologue last night where he pointed something out. The ivermectin controversy. Yeah. We live in a country where you know, Prozac is prescribed by the boatload.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've got no problem with that.
Yep.
But ivermectin, that's where we draw the line.
Can't do that.
Can't do a harmless anti-parasite drug. Yep. But you want to get psychotropic drugs, you get those to your heart's content. Oh, what a country.
Hey,
what a place we're at.
For an exit ramp, let me do something I almost never do. Send people to PBS. There is a new Ken Burns documentary. It's about Muhammad Ali, and shocker, it's a masterpiece. This guy, from Civil War to baseball to Brooklyn Bridge, Ken Burns is an American treasure, and his Muhammad Ali documentary is on, like, this weekend.
Public,
it's wonderful.
Public broadcasting. I mean, listen, nobody does the history of the tsetse fly better than PBS or NPR.
They 12-part series on the tsetse fly.
They're very good at that.
With a Peter Coyote narrator.
Lots of gnat, right. And lots of gnat sound and crickets and, you know.
But in that one, gnat sound is G-N-A-T. Yes! Yes!
Right. Nice. I saw what you did.
Entomological humor. Oh, I'm here all week.
Was there anything better than the two ladies on Saturday Night Live and Alec Baldwin occasionally when they were the NPR hosts or the local?
It was Anna Gasteyer and I forget it, on the Delicious Dish with just that.
The Delicious Dish. Well, that was funny. Was that Molly Shannon?
Molly Shannon and Anna Gasteyer. There you go.
Was funny. Funny stuff. I was. But you know, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. All right, well, off we go.
Party, man.
Let's. I feel better about the illegals not staying very long. I'm glad you straightened that out.
Under control in the studio, no mysterious noises, everything going to be good?
Tracy, my screener, comes in. Sometimes she forgets I'm talking to you, so she starts yapping at me. And I'm like,
so awesome.
Tracy, I'm talking to Mark. I'm on the air. I know we haven't started at 10:05, but she's like, I'm doing something here.
If she wants to be part of the segment, bring her in, sit her down someday. I'm gonna
give her a copy of my first book, Surrounded by Idiots.
Oh, dude,
fighting liberal lunacy in America.
I know. It's the always subtle.
I kid.
Because he loves the always subtle Mike Gallagher. There for you at 10 on 660 AM The Answer. I think the clarinet is underappreciated. The great Artie Shaw, 1946. The Biden administration theme, Nightmare. That was too easy. Ready, we'll let this slowly take us out. Hey, we're going to talk to Dr. Ben Carson in a minute about stuff going on in the country and the world. And still coming up, 8:35, Brian Harrison from the House District 10 race. We'll have John Ray on tomorrow at 8:35. And at 9:35, Dave Lieber and his book about Ross Perot. Stick around, much more to come. Tuesday show, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.